Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moose Knuckle Radio with your host, Don and Justin.
Hello and welcome.
Hold on. Hold on.
Yes.
I have something to say. Real fast.
On today's episode, the part of Don Warren is being played by Dean Dixon.
That's correct. Hello and welcome to another edition of Moose Knuckle Radio. I believe we're in the double digits by now. I'm not quite certain.
Double D in the double digits.
That's right. I'll go with an official count soon. However, this is Moose Knuckle Radio. I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. Make sure you check out the official Twitter of HIAC Talk Radio at HIAC Talk Radio, as well as the official Twitter of Moose Knuckle Entertainment, and that is Moose K-E on Twitter. Make sure you check out for all your network news, HIACTalkRadio.com. And while you're there, make sure you support the podcast. You can donate directly through PayPal, or you can shop at one of our many, many affiliates. Now, I'd like to introduce... He is the co-host.
And co-founder, indeed.
But he is the co-host I enjoy pretty much the most. And that is Justin Americus Clayton. How are you tonight, Justin?
I am doing wonderful, Dino. I also have to say that I can be found on the Twitter. I am at awesome82, not with an E. AWSOM 82, because I don't need vowels.
You do not need vowels. That is what successful companies on the interwebs do as well. Now, Justin,
can I just throw one more out there?
Sure.
And I just want to tease a little bit. You can also check out Moose Knuckle Entertainment on the YouTube at Moose Knuckle ENT. We have a couple videos up there. We also have a commercial that we filmed and edited with in conjunction with the Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Network, or HIAC Talk Radio Network. And that's one of my favorite commercials that we've done.
Oh, certainly. The one with Matt Tremont is
Yes. An
oldie but a goodie. Now, before
I just wanted to finish. Sorry to keep cutting you off. I just wanted to tease that there will be, in the very near future, a project, an important project, that Moose Knuckle Entertainment and Hell in a Cell Talk Radio Network are collaborating on, where Dean Dixon is interviewing an important American figure. That's all I can let out right now, but...
And it's going to be released in serial format, if I am not mistaken.
Yes. I believe anywhere between 4 to 6 episodes.
I could see it being that long. Possibly as many as 18,000. Now,
perfect.
Before we get too far, I do want to play this. It is a commercial for one of our affiliates, and we'll be back on the other side.
Lots of things can go wrong on a date. You could forget your wallet, get caught in the rain, run into your ex. Hey, what's up? Or your ex can turn into a zombie.
It's a zombie apocalypse!
Okay, that probably won't happen. Safest bet, go to the movies and use Fandango to buy your tickets in advance. Don't let the zombies win.
Fandango. Eat popcorn, not brains. Movie tickets, trailers, and showtimes.
All right, so that is... Make sure you go to Fandango. But before you go there, go to HIC Talk Radio, click on Godzilla. It will take you right to Fandango.
Or after you're done doing those two things, go on over to Moose KE and check us out.
I'd prefer if they go to HIC Talk Radio and buy
movie tickets. After they're done, those two things.
Now, Justin, we have wasted enough time.
After they go to HIC, buy the movie tickets, they then go over to Moose KE, check out the website, and send us feedback. We'd like feedback.
I don't like feedback at all.
Well, that's because you're always right.
It's hard, but true. Very, very true. Now, Justin, tonight we are going to talk about this ongoing plight of the long-term unemployed. Now, we're going in our fifth month now.
Are we jumping right into it, or are we just grazing topics right now?
Grazing the topics right now.
All right.
I believe that will be our first topic.
Because you and I both have a lot to say about this.
Indeed. Indeed we do. I even upped our normal allotted time an extra half hour. An extra half hour here tonight, Justin. So we're going to talk about the plight of the long-term unemployed. Of course, this political game that is going on in Washington, where people's lives are being ruined. There's suicides attached to this, Justin. Homelessness, evictions, repossessions, and it seems that the House good old party just does not care. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes.
They have other pressing matters to deal with, but we'll touch on that.
We're also going to talk about the return, Justin, of 24. Jack Bauer is back, baby.
Yes, he is. Jack Bauer is not only a personal idol of mine, he's a hero to many Americans. He takes America back to a time when things were good. We are at war. We had a crazy oil-rich tycoon in the office. We worried about things like terror, but we had our homes and we had our jobs. So there's trade-offs. That we'll go into.
Well, I never thought of it that way, Justin. Also, we're going to talk about Bates Motel, because I'm throwing this at you right now. The season finale was last night, and I still haven't watched it. So as soon as we're done here, we're also going to talk about Fargo. That was an amazing thing. And also my newest review for Tara's Independent Voice is up. Make sure you check out Tara's Independent Voice. That is a friend of HIC Talk Radio, a friend of Justin, Moose Knuckle. She's a friend to everybody, quite frankly.
Yes.
Tara, wonderful person. She hasn't sent me a care package in a while, though.
I'm actually, I had a few discussions with Tara about doing some indie game reviews for her website. That
only makes sense, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you're the movie guy. I'm the game guy. Don's the loud talker. So we all contribute in some way.
Nothing like, I'm going to save that joke for off the air where I was going to go with that, but it's fresh on my mind, Justin, and I think you know where I'm going with that. But we're also going to discuss, there was something else, Justin, and I seem to have forgotten.
The big release today of...
Oh, yes, PS4, The Show.
MLB, The Show. Major League Baseball, The Show. Only on PlayStation 4.
And that makes me angry.
Yeah, you're a baseball fan?
Yeah.
I did not know you were a fan of America's sport.
It's America's pastime.
That's what it is.
Haven't you heard Field of Blood?
I just thought you were a fan of excellent movies.
Well, true. True.
Of cinema.
I can see where you would think I was a cinemaphile. I think that's what they call people who like
Yes.
them. I'm not sure, Justin. I remembered, and then I forgot again the other topic. Oh, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I do have a highlight package of that as well. Obama telling jokes. Quite frankly, he is one of the most well-spoken presidents we've had in quite some time, and his timing is impeccable for this, Justin, for a career in comedy, perhaps, after the White House, I would think.
Well, I would say that his policy is comedic, but, hey, that's just me.
Would you stop it? Just stop it. There's a lot of grid house. Look, one of his best jokes was, he said, there's a lot of gridlock in Washington right now. I'm just wondering who got Chris Christie so upset.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I thought it was a good one. It might be in the highlight package. I don't know if it made it. So we have all that to discuss. But, Justin, you know, I think our first topic, the long-term unemployed, this renew the unemployment insurance, I think it deserves this. Now, of course.
No, it deserved that. That's, I mean, I know. That is HIC Talk Radio Network's signature important news event tagline.
It really is. Now,
or what's the word I'm looking for? Not tagline. You know.
Bumper?
Yes, you're the producer.
Yes. I'm the producer who has somehow become on-air talent. But not like Baba Booey, more like, I don't know, Brady Hicks.
Dean Dixon.
Yeah, I guess.
No. You can't compare yourself to Brady Hicks.
Brady Hicks is doing big things on that VOC Nation thing. God bless America. Now, the plight of the long-term unemployed going on currently in America. Of course, December 28th of last year, the federal benefits were cut. Now, basically, for the people who don't know, to catch you up on what exactly happens when you have to collect unemployment. You get the first 26 weeks are from the states. That 27th week, and for a time after the Great Recession, as it's now called, for a time there was up to 99 weeks. It was cut back to about 74. However, in December of last year, it was completely cut off, affecting at this point almost 3 million people. Each week, more and more people are added to the rolls. Now, a conservative estimate, and I say that with as much disdain as I can, a conservative estimate would be 78,000 people each week lose their benefits because of this. It's certainly an unprecedented thing with unemployment levels as high as they are right now, and especially the long-term unemployed, that this is continuing. It's unprecedented. It makes no sense. Now, if you get to the crux of the matter, John Boehner, the Speaker of the American House of Representatives, I believe he wants that Keystone Pipeline attached, and they also want to extend these tax breaks that Obama has come out today and said, hey, we're not going to extend these tax breaks for the rich. We are going to veto that. So, and he did bring up unemployment. He says, you want these non-paid-for tax breaks while letting the middle class just erode further. Do you agree with that, Justin? Obama coming out and saying he would veto these tax breaks, extending these tax breaks. Eric Cantor, he is the GOP leader in the House of Representatives, said, hey, they're permanent anyway. Since 1981, this has been going on. Why don't we just call a spade a spade? Let's just make these permanent tax breaks. Your thoughts on my summary thus far?
Your information is accurate as far as what has happened in the timeline. I do feel, for different reasons, that people should be, the unemployment insurance, that money should be given to the people who paid into it as long as they need. You don't, or until your money runs out. But you don't work your entire life. You know, I'm not throw out your age or anything like that, but you've worked since
age 16.
Yeah, you've worked nonstop. I mean, you worked your way through college, and you've been paying into the unemployment insurance plan. You deserve all of that money back.
You would think.
You know, I've been working since, you know, I've been on the books working since the age of 16. If something were to happen, I deserve all of that money back.
But somehow it doesn't work that way.
No.
Justin. It simply doesn't work that way.
And one of the things that really bothers me is that the people that don't want to give the money back, they have convinced Americans that
it's an entitlement.
No. No. They've convinced Americans that it's not their money, that it's kind of like free money, and that the people that collect it are leeching off the system, which is not the way it is.
Well, that's what I meant by they have convinced people that this is an entitlement, that it's welfare. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah.
Just to clarify.
Not even welfare is an entitlement. I mean, you still have to... I mean, it comes from somewhere.
Oh, yeah. No, I agree with you. But... Well, entitlement, the way politicians throw around the word, you have to understand the welfare, food stamps, these type of things, or SNAP benefits, whatever you want to call it, they consider those entitlements that they give these. You still have to qualify. The thing that boggles my mind is there's such a stigma attached to SNAP benefits, unemployment benefits, welfare even. I think there's certainly some people out there that aren't fraudulent with the system.
Majority of the people aren't fraudulent with the system.
There are those bad apples.
Yeah, the people that are fraudulent, you know, they are, like you said, they're the bad apples, and they need to be, you know, hunted out or rooted out and removed from the system. I don't have any firsthand knowledge of how the welfare system works, so I don't know if there are checks and balances that go along with that.
I have a rudimentary understanding, simply because Marion is disabled and her income is at a certain level that she qualifies for SNAP benefits. Now, the way that works, and there are checks and balances. Now, they send you out a form every 6 months. You have to fill it out, send it back, saying that your income hasn't changed. Now, in Marion's case, her income is standard. Because she's disabled, she collects a check.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I think some people are like, oh, she's on disability. Well, that's like welfare. No.
Even though she paid into disability the entire time she was working.
See, and that's the thing. If you don't have enough work credits, you're not going to be able to get disability.
No. Well,
if you're a certain age, you do qualify. But if you don't have enough credits, work credits, you won't be able to get disability. You still need to get the work credits.
Now, okay, well, I'll let you finish, and I'll jump in and play devil's advocate. Not on the disability end. When you're finished, I'll jump in and play devil's advocate on the welfare end.
Well,
Social Security end.
No, go ahead. I want to hear what you have to.
Well, a lot of people bunch all of these things together: unemployment, welfare, SSI, Social Security insurance,
and Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah, they just jumble all that stuff together and assume, oh well, you know, these people are bad because they're on it. No, there are a lot of people that find the loopholes and get through, and there's really, as far as I know of, there's no way to cut it out. Like, for example, you can get on Social Security insurance because you're addicted to drugs, you know, because you went out and did drugs. Not because you're addicted to drugs, because a doctor prescribed you too much, and therefore you know, the court finds, well, now this person should qualify because of circumstances out of their control. No, because you decided to go out and do drugs and now you're an addict, you can claim Social Security insurance that you didn't pay into. There are loopholes like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people harp on that when that's not the majority of situations.
I think in a case where it was something that you caused on your own, and this could open up so many other discussions, but when it's something that you caused on your own, whether it's a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, things like that. But even then, I mean, where do you draw that line? If you can't work, but then again, how to get disability insurance, you have to show that you can't do what you did before when you were working. And your quality of life is not going to improve. That's how you get it. Unless there's a loophole that allows drug addicts. I'm not sure because I didn't have to go through that. So that I would be a little more, I don't know. I'll just put it that way. I'll look into that. But getting back to this current state of affairs with the unemployment, now it is...
Just as a, to cut you off, one example, you could, if you watch, there's a movie called The Wonderful World of the Whites from West Virginia.
Okay.
It's a documentary about this infamous family. I believe that's the title of it. It's about this infamous family in West Virginia, and in it, they explain that they're all on welfare because the dad figured out how to cheat and get on welfare. And the government can't kick them off because they're all considered, they're all technically considered psychopathic and deranged or something like that. Mm. So they all from birth, they sign each other up and they live off of the federal government. That is the problem that people have with the system, but that's not the majority of people in the system.
I agree. Now getting back to the hashtag Renew UI movement that is going on.
Well, that's a completely different situation. That is, I mean, there's actually checks and balances, at least in, you know, our state, there are checks and balances as far as being on unemployment. I mean, if you owe a cent in back taxes, you're not getting any unemployment. If you aren't looking for work, you're not getting any unemployment, and you have to document these things. You have to prove, look, I'm trying, and, you know, and in this state, there's also opportunities to that, you know, they'll send you to, you know, they'll take some of the money, send you to a course to, you know, I don't want to use the word re-educate because that sounds draconian, but you know, teach you a new skill.
The re-education of the unemployed.
Yeah, but they'll you know, send you to school to teach you a new skill so you can go back out in the workforce.
Yeah. There's training opportunities with every state. There are – when we moved to Nevada, we went out there with very little. We went to the local labor department out there. It's right off the strip. It's in a wonderful location on Maryland Parkway, right down the road from UNLV. But we went there, and there are actually programs. Most establishments out in Las Vegas have a couple of things. Food service, number one, and they sell alcoholic beverages. Now, to do this, you have to go through classes and get your TAM card, so you can legally serve alcohol. Everybody in retail that has an establishment that has a liquor license has to get the TAM card. So they'll pay for that. Everybody out there has to get a hepatitis shot as well because you're in retail. And you have to get a health card. You have to be registered with the state of Nevada to serve food. It doesn't matter if it's prepared. If there's food in the building, you have to get this. If you work at a movie theater, You have to have a health card. You have to have these things. They pay for those if you show that you don't have income. And it was very easy. She didn't have a job at the time. So they'll pay for these things. They pay for the shot. They pay for the training that you have to go through. And New Jersey is very similar. They don't have TAM and health cards. I wish they did. But that's a different topic altogether. But they'll pay for your training to go. They even have vouchers to go back to college, these types of programs. But getting back to what's going on right now, today there was to be a hearing. It was an event to highlight the unemployment insurance. And what happened was the Republicans said, you can't have this room. You didn't sign up for this room. This is a partisan thing you're doing. Get out of our room, is basically what happened. Now, of course, I'm making it a very simplistic thing. You can go to Huffington Post. All you have to do is Dems kicked out of room. Search for it on Google, and you'll find the story. Basically, what the Democrats wanted to do, they got a bunch of various people through different walks of life. Whether it was a 55-year-old man who has a master's degree or whether it was the recent high school graduate. They were all there on Capitol Hill ready to have this hearing. They were kicked out of the room, so they still made the best out of a bad situation, had this press conference on the steps to Congress, to Capitol Hill. And this press conference, after all is said and done, the Republicans still wanted to push through. And when I say the Republicans, that's Boehner, that is Cantor, who is the House Majority Leader. He is Boehner's right-hand man. And they still want to push these non-paid-for tax breaks for the large corporations here in America.
Now, can you explain non-paid-for and paid-for?
Well, through taxes, through various different ways of cutting the budget, things are paid for. Basically,
and this all goes further to explain why I'm a supporter of the Fair Tax Act, but that's a different conversation.
The unemployment bill is paid for by what they call pension smoothing. Look that up. It's a very complex situation, but it is paid for. The training is paid for. I forget which bill it is, but it was introduced last Friday. This bill goes in. It has everything Boehner is looking for, but Boehner continues to punt it back to the White House, to Obama, says that the administration, Justin, has to come up with the job creation bill. Which makes no sense. Well, the job creation measures, not bill. I'm sorry. He's putting it all in the administration's hand, even though there's already a bill that was sent from the Senate that was bipartisan, even though that's already sitting there collecting dust, even though two bills that I know have been introduced in the House with job creation measures, and I say that in the quotation marks, even though this has already been done, Boehner still will not bring a vote. And we have 3 days left before they have another 10-day vacation.
And what are these job-creating measures that they're trying to say is a they're saying, oh, this is gonna create jobs. What does that mean?
Well, simply passing the bill will create 280,000 jobs because it will stimulate the economy. But besides that, the measures that are put in there, the biggest one that I will comment on is there will be individualized plans. You'll come in. You know how you go in now to these group orientation sessions? And you're there for maybe, you're supposed to be there 8 hours, but you wind up being there for about three.
Well, from what we've heard, because we're both independently wealthy, but yes.
But you leave after about 3 hours, and then...
I don't know. When I went, I was in there for... I think I was there for about 5 or 6. I was there for a long time. I mean, this was 07, 06?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was there for, like, the whole day.
Well, things have changed. They're very busy there, and they get you in and out relatively quickly. Now, what they want to do instead is you come in, and kind of like a guidance counselor is what it seems to me, they will come up with some type of reemployment plan individualized to your skills and your talent base.
That's what happened with us. Or when I went in, not us. When that's what happened with me. I went in and I sat down with the I think the guy or the girl, whoever, and we spoke about it. And she was like, you know, what are you looking to do? Blah blah blah. And I said, well, I want to go back to school. You have to go to this other class about the school, all this other stuff. You know, what are you looking to do? I said, I went on your website. I found that you will assist me or, you know, pay for this school for driving trucks. She said, yes, we will, but you have to meet the certain criteria. Because I was on my way out of the military, that I was considered untrained and I was eligible to, you know, to go to the school.
Oh, okay. There are plans like this, as you said. You have to set up an appointment if you want the college vouchers. If you want to partake in that, you have to set up the plan. You have to go for a job. You can't just be a liberal arts major, for example.
No. No, you have to learn a trade.
Or a job that's in demand, whether it's nursing, whether it's television production, which is actually in demand in Camden County.
No, they were actually going to send me to what's the school around here?
Camden County College?
No, there's a...
the Connecticut School of
Broadcasting. Yeah, they looked it up and all this other stuff, and, you know, because I brought it up. I said, this is what I want to do. I want to go there. They looked it up. They sent it up and everything got approved, and then I...
Started driving a truck.
Yeah, I had a...
You started training under an Atlas. And the rest is downhill.
Pretty much. I was involved with another human being, and we had a discussion, and I started driving trucks.
We'll take you on at Starbucks. Anyway, I've heard stories, Justin. Now, so this... To me, it's just this political game that they are using, and it's so evil to me to do this to everyday people. You're talking about people they had to prove, and this is the thing that irritates me, through no fault of their own, they lost their job.
Their houses.
And at this point, that's what it's becoming. We have people who cannot make the mortgage. We have people that cannot make their car payments. So there's repossessions.
Well, Dean, you know as well as I do, everybody on unemployment is a renter who takes public transportation. So don't give me that crap.
Everybody, there have been suicides over this.
People imagine so.
People who have become so despondent.
How I could... Now, I'm not a suicide guy. I never, you know, never invested into it. But I could see how somebody could look at just there's no hope. And then they look at their kids, and it's like, you know, well, I have a minimal life insurance policy that's about to run out at the end of the month, you know?
Yeah.
Not that life insurance pays out on suicide, but you know what I mean? Like,
no, but you have that George Bailey moment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Where you're standing on the bridge ready to jump in to the icy waters below. Yes, Justin, I did get It's a Wonderful Life reference in this week.
And someone needs to be the Clarence of the unemployed.
Like
what I did there?
I did. Someone needs to be that guardian angel. Someone needs to say, and there have been people that have stepped forward. Sandy Levin is one. There's another guy from Michigan, representative from Michigan, that is speaking out. There's Nancy Pelosi. I'm not asking for your opinion on Nancy Pelosi, but she is somebody who is trying to get this through. Senator Reid, I'm not talking about the Bundy Ranch right now. I'm talking about Senator Reid is trying to push this forward.
No. It was two different Senator Reids.
Oh, are they?
There's one from Arizona, and then there's the one that
Harry.
You're talking about.
Okay. I was confused last.
Yeah, time. I learned that out after you and Senator Reid became BFFs on Twitter.
You know who followed me on Twitter? There's actually two notable people that followed me on Twitter. One is Sandy Levin, the representative from Michigan, and another is Tully Blanchard.
Really?
Yeah, the real Tully Blanchard followed me. See, what's more impressive to you, Tully Blanchard? I agree with you. There are people coming forward. It's just because of this obscure rule that happened when the government shut down that...
No, it happened...
Fire can only bring this up.
It happened January 11th or January 14th, whatever Inauguration Day is, 2008.
Well, as far as gridlock, I would agree. As far as... I mean, if you just look at things... And it's a war that has no race, it has no color, it has no creed. It's a war on the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And people have to get past all this racism. They have to get past all this.
Because these are all just distractions. Do you really think that... The guy from the Clippers cares that, you know, people are mad at him for saying to his girlfriend, hey, don't go hang out with the blacks, I don't like it.
How many days was that TMZ-inspired drivel front page news?
The entire week.
Exactly.
And
how much
zero airtime. Zero airtime for the ineffectiveness of... And the complete lack of compassion of our entire House of Representatives.
Exactly. Someone has to step up. Someone has to do it before the end of this week. If this goes another week, because like we said last time we were on this very show, Justin, this only extends the benefits. Now, it is retroactive. But it only extends the benefits until May 31st, and then we're going to have a whole other can of worms to open, along with the infrastructure bill that's going to come up very soon.
And why is that?
May 31st, it was written into the bill, would be that it was a five-month extension that they were going for. Now, the Democrats wanted a year. They wanted a full year from January 1st until December 31st. They would fund those... Republicans said no, 3 months. They compromised on the Senate bill that eventually went to the House and is just sitting there and has since April 7th, almost a month at this point. So they agreed upon five, got it through the House, bipartisan affair, and if it's signed in its current form, which there's very little hope for, unfortunately, if it's signed in its current form, it's May 31st. Now, the infrastructure bill comes up later in the summer. Before they take their month-long vacation in August. That's right. Both houses will be...
They're well-deserved month-long.
Oh, my goodness. Because they work, my friend. When I think of... Obama said it the best during the White House Correspondents' Dinner. If you want to get paid while not working, you should have to run for Congress like everybody else.
Yeah.
Because like we have been saying, these guys, they take... their month off. They have 1 week a month they go back to their district, ostensibly to get in touch with their constituents. It's called the Constituents Week.
And of course, we don't have one.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's saying call your congressman.
We say how?
Yeah.
We don't have one.
Yeah. Andrews, of course, we're talking about the first district in New Jersey. Andrews stepped down. There was an investigation, yada, yada. Not getting into that, but...
Whoa. He stepped down so he could go and work for a family friend, okay?
Yes, it was much more lucrative for him and his family.
Yeah, if you don't believe him, then just ask him.
They're going to France on campaign funds. But that's neither here nor there, Justin. What is here and now is... I've written to the White House through email. I've written to Boehner. I've written to Cantor. I've written to Frank Lobiondo. However, Justin, getting back to the Renew UI, we have talked about it for about a half hour at this point. My final thoughts are something has to get done. They have to work together. There are Democrats that want to do it. There are Republicans that want to do it, and my point was Lobiondo.
That's probably like the more important thing is okay. Mainly, it's a Democrat backed bill, but there are Republicans enough to pass it through the Senate that want to do it.
Now, Frank Lobiondo, this was my point. Of all the people I've written, I've only gotten one response. That was Frank Lobiondo. He's New Jersey. He's been in New Jersey forever in politics for the Cumberland County area, the 3rd District of New Jersey. He is the only one who got back to me and said, hey, I signed this letter. I'm trying my best to get it. It's Boehner. And pretty much that's what he said. It's incredible to me, of everyone that I've written, the only one was a Republican out of my district.
Yeah.
But
who's not a Norcross guy.
Yeah, that's for sure. He certainly isn't. It's very strange that Cumberland County does have a Republican representative.
They're diehard Republican in Cumberland.
It's odd because you would think demographically they wouldn't be. But that's neither here nor there. But Justin, I'm going to take a very quick, brief musical interlude here.
Okay.
We're going to go to the Mystery Men. This is Set Your Phaser to Miles Davis. And when we come back, we'll talk about PlayStation 4. And we have a caller that I think you want to talk to. But first, the Mystery Men with Set Your Phasers to Miles Davis.
Hello, guys. That's it. 私の名前はアキラ・トズワです。私はミステリーメンのベースプレイヤーです。時間も割いて私たちの音楽を聴いてくれていただきありがとうございます。あなたがそれを楽しんで猫の記憶を私の驚くべき作り入れてしベースの技術的宣告を席巻したりでの腕前を買った。でも、マイルス・ディーブルス好きです。大好きです。その素晴らしい
place where you are guaranteed to find a great guy. You know, the kind of guy that carries you off on horseback and flies you to Paris and likes to talk about his feelings? He's at the movies. Well, in the movies. Girls are lining up for guys like this. But not you, because you bought your tickets ahead on Fandango. So adios, long lines, and hello, handsome astronaut, brain surgeon, spy.
Make a date with Fandango.
Okay, we heard the Mystery Men. Set your phaser to Miles Davis. You can, of course, go to lucha-rock.com, check out the album. It's $9. You can download it. It's an instant download. And the name of that album is Musica in Masquerada. Like I said, $9 at lucha-rock.com. And, of course, check out HIACTalkRadio.com and check out some of our affiliates there. If you have a movie you want to go see, Fandango. Just click on Godzilla. Hi, Justin. We're back.
Dean, I do have to say...
Yes.
...that, and I don't get paid by Fandango or anything, but I use their app when I do buy, you know, when I buy movie tickets, and it's the way to go. You go there, you buy the app, you can find out if... the tickets are available, bing, bang, boom, and you go home, or you go to the movies, and you're good. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, and that's why I'm trying to get people to go there. I know people go to the movies. You can also go to the movies and help support your favorite podcast. Why not, right? Now, luckily, because I don't have a PS4, luckily, someone called in who does have a PS4. I don't think they're excited about this particular release, but I'd like to introduce Justin, the great Harry Barnett. And I'm putting him on right now. Harry, welcome to the show. How are you this fine evening?
Well, Dean, it feels great to be back with you and with Justin once again.
Oh, it's good to be here. Go ahead, you guys. PlayStation 4, there was a big release today that Justin is quite excited about.
Well, first, before I go into that, Dean,
yes.
Do you have a... Are I forgetting something?
Not to my knowledge, what?
Harry's music?
Not happening. It's not queued up. So.
Okay.
Just continue your conversation.
I'll forgive you this time, Dean.
Maybe, Harry, maybe you could sing it.
I'm not very good at singing. We can get someone else to do it some other time. But anyway, there's
well,
the
this,
PS4.
Yes, today there was a release of... I don't know what that was, but there was a release of MLB The Show, which if you're a baseball fan is a big, big-time release. And there was also a stateside, there's the release of the PlayStation Plus Instant Game Collection download, Stick It to the Man, which has been in the European Union since last Tuesday, or last Wednesday, I believe.
I actually haven't looked in the PlayStation Plus thing at all yet. I think if it wasn't last week, then it would be tomorrow, because... We usually get it the day after you guys.
No, you guys got it last week because a couple people I follow on Twitter have said they got it.
But I do know
you've been pretty much addicted to Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2 that I've very nearly completed, indeed.
How would you rate it?
That's actually a very good question, because the fact that the game is ridiculously easy, even though I had it on the hardest setting, and it's very short, so, you know, easy to beat and short. I look like our good friend, the American Roughneck. By good friend, I mean our enemy. I'd give it a 50-50. You know, I'm just dead set in the middle, because I love the game. I love all the Spider-Man stuff that you can do, the flying around and the webs and everything, but still, it's just too short.
Now, did you just run through the story, or did you do side missions and all that other jazz? Because I get when I play a game, I dig into it. I do the side missions. Like when I played Assassin's Creed 3, I probably could have really beat the game in about 3 days, but I was doing as many side missions as I could. I wanted to upgrade my ship, make it really badass, so I could fight the four monster ships in the game and
Well, the thing with the side missions is you obviously you can do them afterward, but you need to do them as you're going. Otherwise, it will make the game harder for you. I'm not going to give too much away, but it's basically just a way of saying to you, okay, you've got to do this as you're going.
So that's how you get your upgrades.
Yeah, exactly. That and, you know, it's just the game trying to mess with you a little bit.
Now,
I would explain a little more, but just not to give too many spoilers out there for the fine people of Moose Knuckle Entertainment listening out there tonight.
Now, I actually had a question I've been wanting to ask you, and every time we talk, it slips my mind. In the European Union, you guys have a free-to-play game called War Thunder. Have you played that yet?
I have not. I've downloaded everything that we've got for free, but I have not played everything yet.
Oh, okay. Because I wanted to know if it was any good. I hear good things about it, and supposedly it's coming soon to America. Now that there's the new update, they said that they're able to actually release it here. I don't know what the difference between, you know, why they couldn't earlier, but supposedly the game's coming, and you can fly planes and do dogfights and World War II history stuff Dean likes.
Well, there are a few pictures, sort of screenshots that I had a look around as I was downloading everything, and it does look, you know, very, well, war-y, history, stuff that Dean likes. But, yeah, that could make for a good game, but I haven't obviously gotten the chance to play it. But that leads me to a question. How is Warframe?
I love it. A friend of mine and I, we probably or two friends of mine, we've probably logged on between the three of us well over 100 hours in within a couple weeks since we started really getting deep into it. It's, you know, it's a free-to-play game. It's a third-person action game. It's kind of has some role-playing-ish elements to it. And it's not a free-to-win. You don't drop money to get the best guns to other people. You play the game, and say you played it and I played it. We should be able to team up, and when we do, we fight against the computer together, and we have to unlock different things by actually playing the game. You can buy things with real money to speed that up, but it kind of, it's not as fun because going around finding the different materials to actually build, finding the, you know, to build a new Warframe, which is your avatar, you have to have the blueprint. You have to have a couple different items. And then you have, in order to get those items, you have to craft them. So you have to find the materials to craft each and every item. You also have to find that blueprint to craft that individual item. Once you have those three items, then you can craft the Warframe. And then now you have a new Warframe, which you can bring into combat and fight.
Definitely sounds like something I need to go and download. Well, I've already downloaded it. Go and start playing.
Yeah, I've been trying to get you in on it for a while now, and trust me, it's good. But the big news that happened today with the PlayStation 4 was there was and this is where Dean might want to jump in, there was controversy. Big controversy. The MLB The Show was supposed to come out, and at midnight it came out on whoever did midnight releases. It was supposed to come out on the PlayStation Network. Well, it didn't. A couple hours went by. People were blowing up the internet saying, where's my video game that I'm supposed to be allowed to download that I already paid for? Mm-hmm. Not until about 2 o'clock, I think it was, maybe noon or 2 o'clock Eastern time, did the issue get resolved. They never said what it was. They just said unforeseen troubles. Did the actual issue get resolved and people were able to download the game? So there's a lot of people out there that I know that wanted the game that were upset by it because they got home, game was supposed to be downloaded, and it wasn't. It was supposed to be downloaded and installed. They come home and they try and download and install it, and now it's a 40-gig game and it takes forever.
Well, all I can say is I blame Don.
I blame Don for a lot, especially for not being here tonight.
Is the PS4 the download speeds as slow as the PS3?
Nowhere near as close. Oh,
I can remember downloading that role-playing game, the superhero role-playing game, whatever the hell that was called.
DC Universe Online?
Yes, that. It took 3 days, I think. It was horrid.
The day I got my PlayStation 4, I knew how long, because I went out and bought that game day one, because it came with the free 30 days and or 60 days, whatever it was. So I was like, look, you know, it's...
Before it was free.
yeah, before it became a free-to-play game. But, they, you know, it came with the free, couple months free to play the game and, you know, all this other stuff. So I go out and buy it day one. A couple friends of mine, we go out and get it. I install the game, which takes 2 hours to install the game. 30 minutes to 2 hours, something like that. And then they go, oh, there's a day one update, which took, I think it was like, it was overnight. I know that I woke up the next day and it still wasn't done. And I think my PlayStation shut off in the middle of the night, so I had to start it all over. And then I finally got it in there. I get my PlayStation 4. That was, I think, the second game that I downloaded, because I was like, you know what, let me just check it out, see these download speeds. And I was playing it within 30 minutes.
Okay, that's comparable with Xbox.
Well, with the PlayStation 4, when we started the podcast, I came down, when you called me on Skype before we started the podcast, I was buying it on the PlayStation Network because there was something up at the website. They wouldn't let me buy it online to download by the time I got home. Well, I bought it 20 minutes later. The 40-gigabyte game was done.
Wow.
So but I'm guessing my friend is running on Wi-Fi, and I hardwire my PlayStation 4 into the router. We both have the Xfinity high-speed, super-fast internet. Jammy jam. So we both have a good internet speed, but I think he was running through the wireless while I was hardwired in. So that could be that is a huge factor, but still, you know, 40 gigs in 20 minutes.
With my PS4, I'm at the other end of the house from the Wi-Fi, and it's still, you know, unbelievable speed. So that's saying something as well.
But no, I've noticed that a lot of people, or a lot of people I'm talking to, have noticed that the download speeds, whether it's hardwired or wireless, are light years ahead of the PlayStation 3. And that's one of the things that was a turnoff for me on the PlayStation 3. Like, I get all of these free games to the PlayStation Plus, a phenomenal program. You pay $50 a year and you get a bunch of free games. And I get a bunch of free, not just like indie games or small games on the PlayStation 3. I'm talking AAA titles you get, major studio releases. And I won't play them because it takes too long to download.
I can see that. Harry, do you have anything else to add about PS4 or anything else out there?
Well, Dane, my real question is, when are you going to join myself and Justin and even Don Warren, who apparently claims it'll be within 30 days that he gets his? When will you be getting a PS4, Dean?
Oh, I'd probably get a PS3 before a 4 or an Xbox One. So.
Blasphemy.
Hmm. Hey, it's all in taste. It's all in taste.
That's the third, Dean. That's the third worst thing you've said tonight after not
Dean,
doing money.
Dean, you could have said to me, Harry, Justin, you guys are my friends, but I am happy with my Xbox 360, and I would have more respect than if you said, I'm getting an Xbox One.
It doesn't bother me. You know, it's all in personal taste.
You should feel ashamed of yourself.
I certainly
you
don't.
You should feel about as ashamed as John Bonner should feel ashamed. You are harming yourself, Dean, by buying a Xbox One.
I wholeheartedly disagree.
Well, then we'll agree to disagree.
I think that's probably the best course of action here. And we're talking hypotheticals here.
Yes.
Very, very stringent hypotheticals.
Because people who are independently wealthy like yourself don't have time for video games.
I certainly don't. Harry, it's always a pleasure. Would you like to plug your network that, of course, has a name now, it would appear?
Well, Dane, as of, I believe it's the 23rd of May until June 10th, the Great Entertainment Network will be having its breakout season. Justin will be joining me yet again for our E3 special. We'll have a bunch of other shows. Hell, Dane, you can even join me if you want. That weekend, or that week, 2 weeks, however long it is, I don't tend to count these things. We'll be on iTunes, you know, the link will be on Facebook. I don't remember the exact link. It's on Podcast Garden or Pod Garden, whatever the hell it is. Just remember iTunes. Search the Great Entertainment Network. Dean, Justin, it's always fun joining you guys. Good day.
I said good day, Harry.
Have a good one, Harry.
All right, so that's the great Harry Barnett, of course, part the mastermind, you could say, of the Great Entertainment Network. So there's that.
I'm guessing you're not too excited about that last interview.
What? No.
So there's that.
No, I did. Why do people? I say things and people just take the worst. Take the absolute worst. No, I like Harry. Harry and I are in a good place. Jesus Christ. Moving on. White House Correspondents' Dinner. I'm changing it up. I said 24 in the chat, didn't I?
Yeah, and now I'm upset because I want to talk about Jack Bauer.
We'll get to it. Let's talk about it now. I'm sorry.
Let's do correspondence.
Are you sure? Well, do you know what the White House Correspondents' Dinner is?
No.
Well, basically, it is a time the press that covers the White House has a chance to be nice and cozy with the president. It's, you know, a jolly affair, you could say. Bob Hope is a former guest. Conan O'Brien, I guess keynote speaker is what you could say. So you have all these things, entertainers coming and their keynote speakers. And it's usually the president has a little monologue, that sort of thing. So what I did was find some clips, some of the best zingers, if you will. Since you didn't pay attention, this happened, of course, on Saturday night, and you're going to hear from Joel McHale. I'm not familiar with his work, I'll be honest. And President Obama. So here is this. It's about a 4-minute clip, and we'll be back on the other side.
All right.
It is great to be back. What a year, huh? I usually start these dinners with a few self-deprecating jokes. After my stellar 2013, what could I possibly talk about?
He is also home to the Kardashians, who, believe it or not, are Republicans. And I know that because they're always trying to screw black people.
As a general rule, things don't end well if the sentence starts, "Let me tell you something I know about the Negro." You don't really need to hear the rest of it.
It's a genuine thrill to be here in Washington, D.C., the city that started the whole crack-smoking mayor craze.
The Koch brothers bought a table here tonight, but as usual, they used the shadowy right-wing organization as a front. Hello, Fox News. I'm just kidding. Let's face it, Fox, you'll miss me when I'm gone. It will be harder to convince the American people that Hillary was born in Kenya.
Hillary Clinton has a lot going for her as a candidate. She has experience. She's a natural leader. And as our first female president, we could pay her 30% less. That's the saving this country could use. Who's with me?
And I'm feeling sorry, believe it or not, for the Speaker of the House as well. These days, the House Republicans actually give John Boehner a harder time than they give me. Which means orange really is the new black.
Now over 8 million people have signed up for Obamacare, which sounds impressive until you realize Ashley Tisdale has 12 million Twitter followers, so it's pretty good.
The new conservative darling is none other than Vladimir Putin. Last year, Pat Buchanan said Putin's headed straight for the Nobel Peace Prize. He said this. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but to be fair, they give those to just about anybody these days. So it could happen. But it's not just Pat. Rudy Giuliani said, Putin is what you call a leader. Mike Huckabee and Sean Hannity keep talking about his bare chest, which is kind of weird. And I intend to enjoy all the free time that I will have. George W. Bush took up painting after he left office, which inspired me to take up my own artistic side. I'm sure we've got a shot of this. Maybe not. The joke doesn't work without the slide. Oh, well. Assume that it was funny.
So, Justin, that is President Obama, Joe McHale having a good time at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Now, just your
that thought, was racist.
Some of it was.
How dare they say that? That was racist. Obama should be fired for saying Negro.
Well, of course, that was going back to Cliven Bundy, the rancher in Nevada, who said that. That was a little out of context.
I got it.
Yeah, but what's your thoughts on such an expensive dinner, such a gala-type event like that? Now, this has been going on for years and years. It goes back to Calvin Coolidge as far as presidents attending this dinner. But what do you think in times like this where...
I think it's atrocious. I think it's an absolute insult that they can have a dinner and have a good time, you know, and all this other stuff, but people are losing their houses because of their lack of
action.
Now,
truthfully, there's not much Obama can do. We've talked about this too.
No, but as a leader, I would hope that, you know, our leader would take a step back and say, look, I get it. You know, people are hurting. So I can't host this. Or this is coming out of my own pocket. This isn't going to come out of taxpayers' money.
True. I see your point there. I see your point.
I'm not
sure if it is taxpayer money. It might be put on by the White House Correspondents Association.
If that's what it is, then look, you know, all for it. You know, if it's a nice little break, whatever. But if it's taxpayer money, then...
I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
Well, I don't know. If depending on who's paying for it is where I stand. If it's just like, you know, like you said, the White House Correspondents team, they put it on, or league or whatever it's called. They put it on, they pay for it, all that other stuff. There's no taxpayer money going towards it or anything. Great. You know, let them have a good time, whatever. I don't care. But if we're paying for it, no.
I can't see who pays for it, but I'm going to assume that the White House Correspondents, I don't know this answer. I'll have it for you next time.
All right.
Or when I put up the link for the show, I'll have the answer there. So to find out, because that's actually a very important question. Now, a very important thing did happen this week as well, Justin, and that is the return of Jack Bauer. I have to admit, I'm not a fan. Just never got into the show. It's a little gimmicky, isn't it? You know, it's in real time or something.
If by gimmicky you mean it's very American and there's lots of action and shit getting blown up, yes.
Okay.
Now, to me,
it seems miraculous that all these events can happen within the course of one day, but
No, it's like ER in the government agency, you know, well, not even. It's like a live or a TV show version of Die Hard. And for me, it's a throwback to a time when I was, you know, growing up, and I used to just love going over to my friend's house because he had HBO and watching rated R movies and seeing shit just get blown up and people shot and all this other fun stuff. And since this has gone off the air, it's just, you know, been, oh, here's some slapsticky stuff and, you know, here's some more of the old Jersey crowd crew and, you know, just goofy, dumb stuff I couldn't get into.
Okay.
On network TV.
How did this come about?
Game of Thrones is different.
How did this come about to return? What's the story of Kiefer Sutherland coming back?
Well,
it is Kiefer, right?
No, it's Jack Bauer. You need to realize 24 is pretty much a documentary. It takes place in real time.
You know, sometimes, Justin, I'm willing to go on these excursions in deep and dark into your mind. Remember Kamala used to be from deepest, darkest Africa? Well,
yeah.
Sometimes going along with you for these rides into your mind is like going to deepest, darkest Africa. I just can't buy them sometimes.
But they're all 100% accurate.
Sure. But go ahead. How did it come back that the documentary was again shown on television?
I believe it was Mickey Rooney who once said, if you believe it yourself, then it's true. But
or Andy Rooney.
Yeah, or Andy Rooney.
One of his scathing 60 Minutes commentaries.
Maybe it was Andy Rooney, but either
I think
way.
That's what, you know what? Andy Rooney, there needs to be an Andy Rooney character in every independent organization. Just a guy who sits at a desk and complains about the state of affairs.
You know, look at this guy. He decides that he wants to do a backflip handspring, but he can't even throw a punch right. What's his problem? You know, when I was a young Tucker and I was in the ring, I was throwing a punch properly. People thought that I was taking the guy's goddamn head off. But this kid, he can't even throw a punch to save his life.
Oh, you have to say something about gear. Please say something about gear.
Look at this guy. He comes out here wearing T-shirts and shorts like his name is John Cena. John Cena has earned the right to wear jorts, no matter what anybody says. The guy has paid his dues. He wore tights as the prototype, and when he was in the Indies, he wore tights then. Vince McMahon tells him to wear jorts, so he wears jorts. It's all in the character. You can't say it's my character just because you're a fat slob. No, lose the weight.
That's what I would have done.
Now, and this is live mic during the match.
Yes. Oh, that'd be... It needs to happen. Just an annoying old guy.
Yeah.
Who was that camera guy that showed up? He had the wrestling marks or whatever. Remember that guy?
Oh, yeah, he just showed up, started taking pictures, and then said, oh, it's $200. We're like, what? Who are you? You owe me $200. That's why I took pictures. Who hired you, Captain Dave? What? He doesn't work for us.
Oh, peeling the layers of that curtain. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So 24 is back.
Back to 24.
That's the greatest segment we ever had, ever, on any show.
What, my Andy Rooney?
Yes.
My independent wrestling Andy Rooney?
Why has he got kick pads on?
Listen, look at this guy over here. He comes down to the ring dressed in underwear and kick pads, but not once during the match does he throw a damn kick. He throws those shitty punches that miss by a mile. Come on, kid. Learn some karate.
Take a class. Okay. 24 is back, Jack Bauer.
In my day, we had Ricky Steamboat. Now, Ricky could really do some karate in real life. Or at least he made me believe he could, but he didn't wear kick pads.
No, sir.
Why would he want to protect his opponent?
It's kind of silly when you think about it. Kick pads are used in MMA for the amateurs.
Just like boxing helmets are worn by boxers and the amateurs. You know what? You know what?
Next time you buy your next kick pads, remember that.
Yeah. So next time I see a guy kick pads, I'm like, dude, where's your helmet? What do you mean? They're my kick pads, dude. They're cool. What, you just can't afford boots or you need a helmet? One or the other, I don't like the way you look.
I'm not shaking his hand when I leave. Anyway, Jack Bauer, we're running out of time, Jeff.
This guy tapes up his hands. The ref never bothers to look under the tape for brass knucks. Why is that?
Remember when they used to check the guys?
Remember when closed fist was illegal?
It's supposed to be a forearm. Or an open hand.
Yes.
Let's clarify that.
The open hand. Anyway.
Bates Motel also.
Yes, Bates Motel also. Now, I'm just really big into the 24. It's like an action movie every week. It's an hour-long action movie every week. The plot doesn't matter because it's ridiculous. It's every season is someone wants to kill the president. I think one season did something different, or two. They were like, oh, there's a virus or there's a biological weapon out there that's going to kill the president. Okay. Oh, they have a dirty bomb and it's going to kill the president. Oh, okay. It always involves either the president or the president's daughter. So, who in real life I actually saved when I was in the military, but that's classified. So Jack Bauer has to figure out who is behind the attempted assassination of the president this time around.
Oh, at least they're going someplace different.
Yeah. Well, the difference is the president is the father of the woman he loves.
Oh, well, I don't even know what that means.
In one of the seasons, he fell in love.
Do you watch House of Cards yet?
No.
God. Have you watched Fargo?
No. I've been watching Weeds. I've been watching Once Upon a Time.
Oh, come on, Weeds.
What? What's wrong with Weeds?
Look, Billy Bob Thornton, as a hitman, a quirky hitman. That's all I have to say, Justin.
Billy Bob Thornton, TV. Watch it.
Yeah.
You get to watch 1 hour of Billy Bob Thornton a week.
And the first episode is an hour and a half. And you'll watch that first episode. This is what happens. You watch the first episode and you go, oh, okay, it's a quirky Minnesota thing like Fargo.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it takes such a direct right turn and leaves you going, no, this is better than the movie.
It's better than the Coen Brothers movie?
At this point, after the 3 episodes that have aired, I have to say that it's better.
Wow.
And I love the original Fargo.
But yeah.
Billy Bob Thornton is amazing. The supporting cast is amazing. It's well worth your time. Well worth your time. But Jack Bauer's back. He's saving the president again. It's a glorious day for you, Justin.
Jack Bauer has a countdown. Can he save the president within 24 hours?
We've seen it before.
He's done it 8 other times. Can he do it a 9th?
Now, for the people that may or may not know who Andy Rooney is, check out some classic episodes of 60 Minutes. He did pass away a few years ago. It's very sad.
Yes, no, it was. Andy Rooney was the reason to watch 60 Minutes, because at the end, when they gave him, like, especially when he was, when you knew, he knew, he was kicking the bucket in a year or two, oh, it was amazing, because he didn't give a shit about anything.
It's true.
He would say whatever, and you'd be like, he's actually saying this, and they're airing it?
You know what I don't like? CBS.
They're a bunch of Jews. What, Andy Rooney?
We got to get him off. He's dying in a year. Leave him alone.
Oh, that's just Andy.
And he got away with it.
He called CBS a bunch of Jews. Are you even allowed to do that? Oh, it's Andy Rooney.
So Fargo, check it out. Bates Motel season finale. The only criticism I have for Bates Motel is it's only 10 episode seasons. That drives me crazy.
I'm on the fence about that. I know some shows are... Oh, and by the way, that was Andy Rooney talking. That wasn't me. So that was the ghost of Andy Rooney. So you can't sue me for that.
Oh, no.
I'm legally cleared. Dean has powerful attorneys. So I'm good. Yeah, satire.
It's
Andy Rooney. But anyway, I'm on the fence because I like... If I'm watching it on Netflix, 10 is good because it tells a quick little story and then you can go to the next season. If I'm watching on, say, Showtime or HBO or, you know, network television, then it's more like, oof, you know, it's not enough.
Yeah, well, that's – and Fargo is only going to be a 7-episode season. I think it's just like a mini-series, actually. I forget what they call it. A mini serial is what they're calling it.
The Walking Dead, the first season...
was 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And then it went to 13, and now I believe they're at 16 episodes.
Yeah, because they originally were going to die in the...
I don't think they realized how popular this was going to be.
Yeah. Like, because I remember reading an interview or watching an interview, something, they were like, yeah, we were going to kill them. And then inside of that building in the CDC, and then AMC came along and said, oh, you're picked up. And we couldn't. So last second, we reshot an ending, and that's why they lived.
And that's why there's crappy CGI the end of the first season.
Yeah, because there was nothing left in the budget for the good CGI.
Indeed.
Which I'm surprised they never went back on...
Was there something else we were going to talk about, though? I feel as though we're missing... We got
the
White
Lady
House.
Gaga concert was canceled.
Nobody cares.
Okay, actually, my Twitter feed is blown up because I have a guy on there that's a Wizards fan, and he's going around trolling and retweeting everybody that is complaining about the concert. That's why I got into that argument I got into earlier today.
You know, after reading your argument, I have to say it was very good. Now, where can people find that argument, Justin? Go ahead and plug your Twitter again. We're not happy.
Oh, okay. Well, you mean my argument where I was stating the fact that Larry Zbysko is the living legend,
yes,
as opposed to Lady Gaga, who
yes,
this fan thought was the living legend. They can find that at... Awesome82, AWSOM82.
No vowels. I will not take a vowel, say Jack. You know, I honestly don't think that... I did want to make note that my latest review is up, and I did want to talk very briefly about the subject of that documentary. And if you have a chance, I'd like to recommend it. Let the Fire Burn. Now, That is a movie, Justin, a documentary that takes you from the very early genesis of the MOVE organization in Philadelphia up until that fateful day in May of 1985 when Philadelphia dropped a bomb on MOVE. Now, hold your horses before we talk about that. Go to terrorsindependentvoice.com. I reviewed it's a wonderful documentary. But, Justin, let's give them a little bit of a teaser as we go into overtime. Do you remember that day in 1985?
Yes, I was three, and I remember it well.
You were three?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Wait, what was the date again? I was three.
May 13th, 1985.
Yeah, I was three. I was born in January.
You and I asked Dan, I said, do you remember that, Dan? And no, I was two. What the hell? I remember that day, and I suppose I'm dating myself with that. I was nine, actually, at the time. And I recall it was Mother's Day weekend. They evacuated everyone, and the next day there was the shootout, and very surreal watching an entire block in Philadelphia, because that's all that was on the news. If you live through 9/11 and you recall, I'm not comparing the two.
Well, okay, from what it sounds like, the LA riots.
Very similar.
When that was, that's all that was in the news for weeks.
Very similar. When you saw Richard Denny get pulled out of the truck and attacked with a brick.
Reginald,
I'm sorry. Very surreal. Basically, 11 people died in this fire. There's allegations that Philadelphia police opened fire as people were trying to escape. And the thing is, it's a documentary, and it's very well done. My only complaint about...
So, like Waco.
Very similar.
Just without the FBI, you know, shooting firebombs into the building. But anyway.
Very, very similar. Justin, you have to realize... And I'm not...
This country's due for another one.
Probably.
I mean, there's a lot of tension.
I really thought Bundy was going to go.
There's a lot of tension in the country. A lot of people are not happy with either the Republicans, the Democrats, or both.
People are just tired of the establishment.
Yeah. And I don't think the establishment knows how to handle it properly. And I'm not advocating rising up with guns, even though I'm a gun guy. I'm not advocating rising up with guns. I believe use it for self-defense, use it for hunting, use it for sport, whatever, but you do not use it in violence against another person, maliciously, whatnot. But someone may decide to pick up a gun, go after the government, and that could start a whole can of worms that a lot of people don't want to be involved with. But a lot of people do want to be involved with at the same time.
I think there are certain things, but the MOVE organization started in 1972, founded by John Africa. Everyone took the surname of Africa. I think really what this documentary will show you is the failure of what happens when two sides, and there's so many things, and I'm just glazing over a lot of it, but when two sides will no longer open up communication. Now, there were allegations from MOVE that Philadelphia police killed one of the children during one of their attempted raids. There are allegations that MOVE, during the eviction in the Palatine area, their original headquarters, that a police officer was shot and killed. Now, there was a police officer mortally wounded during this attempt to evict them. So, allegations back and forth, and it all just boiled up into 1985. So, if you think about it, it took 17 years. It took two mayor administrations, Wilson Good, Frank Rizzo. Ed Rendell has his hands dirty in all of this. Just so much going on. And while I think the film takes more of a bias toward the move side of things, and it's hard not to take that stance when you watch it, but it's as neutral as it can be, considering what happened, if that makes sense. Take that for what it's worth. Now, you would know more about this. 9 people were convicted for that police officer that was shot. How can that be?
What do you mean?
9 people were charged with murder.
Mm-hmm.
How could that be? Is that all just conspiracy charges and things like that?
No, you don't have to pull a trigger to be guilty of murder. In most, maybe even all states, say you and I go to, I don't know, just a random person in the world, Brady Hicks's house, and you pull out a gun and you shoot him, and I don't do anything to stop you, I am equally as guilty of murder as you are.
You know what? In Florida, there was a case, I read about it a couple weeks ago, where there were a group of friends. One of the friends lent his car out to one of the friends.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who lent out his car went to sleep. He's done it before. He's lent out his car. Everything's been fine. Now, he's asleep in bed. While he's asleep, the friend that took the car wound up robbing and murdering someone during the course of said robbery. I believe it was a home invasion, something of that nature, over drugs. Now, the guy who lent out his car, and I wish I had the case in front of me, but the guy who lent out his car is in jail. He was charged with murder. That's how strict Florida's laws can be, but normally aren't.
Yeah, that sounds like either, I mean, just wacky laws, maybe.
He was counseled because his property was used during the commission of this murder, is how they charged him. And they agree that he was asleep in bed.
But just because the guy, I mean, does that mean that if a guy takes public transportation to someone's house, then the state is guilty? I mean, if it was maybe, say, you lent me your car, like I came over your house to borrow your car, you go to bed, I then take your gun, or you lend me your gun, and then I kill somebody. All right, well, now I used your gun, but a mode of transportation just to get to the guy. Or if I said, hey, I'm going to take your car and go run this guy over, and then you don't say anything, I can see that, but I can't. I'm not saying I don't believe you. I'm just saying that's ludicrous if that's how everything went down. I mean,
here it is. I found a story on thenation.com. And why is
what does Fox News say? Because they're always accurate.
It says, why is a Florida man facing life in prison for lending a friend his car and going to sleep? The man's name is Ryan Hull. He has no prior record. He's currently serving his 11th year of a life sentence. Several years ago, I wrote the New York Times. Exactly what did Ryan Hull do? At a party in his apartment over 10 years ago, he lent his car to a roommate and went to sleep. He had lent his car to his roommate many times before with no negative consequences. This time, the roommate and others went to a house where they knew a woman was selling marijuana from a safe. So it sounds kind of like the Wonderland murders at this point.
Yeah.
They planned to get the marijuana, but in the course of their break-in, a teenage girl was killed. Those at the scene all received appropriately harsh sentences, but so did Ryan Hull. The author got involved in the case shortly after he read the original New York Times piece. I have been advocating on behalf of Clemency, who was first offered a plea deal of 10 years, but he chose to go to trial. I'm sure it was difficult. Again, this is a man who was home asleep in bed at the time of the crime. I personally know of no other felony murder conviction where the person was not even present and the premeditated part of the conviction suggests that Ryan knew his car was going to be used in the course of murder, which to me is incredible.
I mean, he didn't even know his car was going to be used to go to the house to rob it.
Exactly. He just was lending his car that he did it before and during the case. And this is on thenation.com, and you can just look it up. I look for Florida man charged with murder while asleep. Type in that and Google, and you can find it's the first article.
And that's another thing. This guy takes it to trial, and the jury, for some reason, finds him guilty. You know, he didn't plea. A jury of his peers found him guilty. I know, I'm not saying that they're right. I'm not saying they're wrong. I didn't sit in on the trial, so I don't know.
Yeah, so much. But getting back to Let the Fire Burn, it's well worth your time. It's a very quick, watch. And like I said, well worth your time. It uses archival footage. Now, you are familiar with our ABC, NBC, and CBS affiliates, Justin. So you'll get to see Larry Kane, who looks the same now as he did then. You'll get to see Steve Russell and Vernon O'Doom very young. Now, O'Doom is a Philadelphia legend, quite frankly.
No Andy Rooney?
No Andy Rooney, but it uses archival footage. There was an investigation committee that was signed up. They show that, and they also show Birdie Africa, who was the lone child who escaped, thanks to one officer who decided to grab him, pretty much. He just recently died. He changed his name to his father's name. He was out of the MOVE organization after this incident. So, oh, my goodness. Good movie. Check it out. You have plenty other things to check out as well, Fargo and everything. And we talked about Renew Unemployment Insurance. It's an important week this week, Justin, for that.
Yes. Oh, let me just, speaking of one of the things that we spoke about, the White House Correspondents' Dinner. I found this on the internets.
Okay.
If you believe answers.com. I know. Yeah. They said, the question was, who pays for the White House Correspondents' Dinner? The answer that was put up was, the dinner is paid for by tickets bought by people attending the dinner, most accurately, purchased by corporations given to their employees and guests. The dinner is also a fundraiser for scholarships for journalism students.
Oh, well, then that's a very altruistic and honorable thing.
Yes, yes.
Well, okay. That makes me feel better about the whole thing, then.
Yeah, a lot better.
Yeah, definitely. So if that's the case, we got the answer there. Thank you to answers.com. Justin, where can the fine people find you?
They could find me on the Twitter at AWSOM82, no vowels. They can also find me on, well, they could find the Moose Knuckle Entertainment at Moose KE. There is a vowel. And they can find the Moose Knuckle Entertainment on YouTube. Go to youtube.com/MooseKnuckleENT.
And also, don't forget, MooseKE.com.
Yes, the very illustrious MooseKE.com.
Now, I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. I'll be back here tomorrow. Our guest will be MMA icon Paul Bentello.
Sorry. May I throw one more in?
You have been doing this all night, Justin.
I have been a
trooper up until this point.
You asked me last show.
I did. What did I ask you?
When are you going to start streaming again?
Yes, I did.
Twitch. I started Sunday. I'm going to be doing it every Sunday between 8 and, I believe, 10. So that way I can watch Game of Thrones afterwards. And I will also, periodically, I'll be streaming some of my stuff. Like, I picked up the show. I'll be streaming the show. You can follow me on Twitch and watch me play my games. I am Awesome82, spelled the same way, AWSOM82.
Am I good?
Yes.
I'm, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County, and as I was saying, tomorrow on HIC Talk Radio, we will be joined by MMA icon Paul Bentello. He has been in every major organization. He even fought for the UFC title back in the late 90s, so he has been everywhere. It is a great honor for him to be on the program tomorrow. And you can catch me at Folsom County. You can also follow the official Twitter of this network at HIAC Talk Radio. And also the website at HIACTalkRadio.com. Also, make sure you check out TerrasIndependentVoice.com. Justin and I do work there. And actually, the last five or so articles are written by yours truly. So you can go there, check out some reviews, some good reviews, too. Let the Fire Burn, I highly recommend. It is on Netflix. Just search for Let the Fire Burn. So make sure you go to HIACTalkRadio.com. There are plenty of places to shop and help out the show. If you want to make a donation, you can also do it there directly through PayPal to help support this broadcast and to keep it free. Not that I'm ever going to charge for it. Yeah, I doubt that would work. Do you think it would work, Justin?
No. I mean, maybe your show, but not this one. This is where people go to have fun, you know?
It's a fun show with yours some serious topics.
Yours is a news, good, you know, quality interview show. Here, people come, they like to hang out, have a couple cocktails, you know.
I thought that was after midnight. We still haven't really found an identity for MK Radio, I do believe. What is the identity of the show? I know what you're attempting to do.
Well, the original idea was to pull back the curtain a bit, but we haven't had any work.
Yeah, we haven't had much pulling back there.
But I believe with our announcement of a very illustrious interview that you have coming up soon.
With Tom Brandy?
Possibly.
On that note, Justin, I believe we're under some pressure here.
Yes. Cutting it close. I bid you all adieu. But it don't work. Keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
You know, sometimes when I watch a match and I see a guy and he's getting punched in the face in the beginning and he's dead, but why does he kick out after two on the finish? Ladies and gentlemen, this is Andy Rooney.